flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome in on a Wednesday, or sorry, Thursday. Weeks flying by. Here we go. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. And last night, a Wednesday night, the Pistons fall to the Pacers. I thought what Luke had in the update there from Cade Cunningham, they needed to be more poised.
Yeah.
Was spot on. Pistons give up 133 points, but I feel like the headline is they lost their cool. Isaiah Stewart gets ejected from the game. And John, I want to start with you because you've been in these
moments.
Skirmishes, yeah. Where things boil over. Isaiah Stewart, everybody loves him because he's tough and he's one of us. Yeah. And
it's almost a throwback to the Bad Boys era.
Yeah, he could have played with Lambeer and Dumars.
Mahorn.
Yeah. But he can't do that, right? You gotta set the record more than me because I'm just some whiny radio host. What did you think?
When I saw it live, I thought, what the heck just happened? Like, the shot goes up, he turns the... And when you see it in slow, like you see it in real time, it looked like he just ran somebody over as he turned to go down court. Then all of a sudden you see it in replay and slow-mo and 10 different angles as they're trying to sort things out. And he literally turned, sought him out, gave him the forearm to the chest, knocked him over. And normally NBA guys, I'm like, oh, that's a flop. That wasn't a flop. Isaiah Stewart laid him out and rightfully ejected. And I just, that's where you just have to be mentally tougher and not allow that moment to affect the game. Now, if he plays the rest of the game, do they eventually make a comeback? Probably not.
No.
Not in that game.
They
not
got
last
jumped
night.
Early. Yeah.
Well, they got jumped early and they fought back. And it was more, there were other issues than Isaiah Stewart running somebody over and being ejected. Turnovers. That to me was the biggest one, and it was just stupid turnovers. Anyway, you cannot allow, no matter what is said, no matter what somebody does to you on the court, that's part of the game within the game, is trying to get a reaction out of someone that takes them out of their game. Now, you don't necessarily, if you can poke somebody that well, and cause a moment like that where they get ejected, hey, that's the best outcome as an opponent you could possibly have. If it's just, hey, I keep poking the bear, and I get them mentally out of their game so that he's more concerned about me than playing defense. He's more concerned about me than being a part of this offense. Now all of a sudden I've disrupted their whole operation. That's the goal.
Yeah, the Pacers got under their skin. Halliburton's a yapper. Even Blaha was getting a little annoyed with him. He's doing shimmies. The Pacers got under the Pistons' skin yesterday, and Isaiah Stewart gets ejected. I've got quotes from Stu after the game, but first let's play Bickerstaff, because Bickerstaff did defend Stewart, and this is what he said.
Okay. So I disagree. Like, okay, without having any idea what was said, sure, there are things that cross the line. And maybe there's, if it involves race, if it involves, you know, some I just don't know what
family,
you could say.
Wives.
Yeah, but do you know my wife? Do you know my family? Like, hey, your mom wears army boots. Okay, you don't know. Like, you're just trying to be, you know, a dork. I don't know what it would be,
because you,
that
you,
would be that personal.
Like, guys talk trash when you were playing. Guys
sure.
would say stuff trying to get under your skin. That was part of what you
yeah.
knew you were getting into.
And I mean, like, especially if you know you're playing against somebody that's very conscientious about their play, what they do, and maybe they're bringing up something, hey, saw something on film, you know, and I'm going to try to do that to you, just like, you know, this guy did. Like, okay, that starts to get under your skin, and maybe you try and give them a little bit extra juice on the next play. And if they get that sense that what they're talking about is getting to you, guys are always going to take it to the next level. That's where you got to know that, hey, this is what they're saying should have no effect on me during the game. And we're all human. We all have human nature. We're all going to have human reactions. But that was one, and especially if you get a chance to see it, and I do encourage anybody to go watch it. If you got a doubt about what happened, like, they weren't, whatever was said had to be said 20, 30 seconds before that. So he had time to think about it, and ball goes in the basket. He turns around and seeks him out. Like, I just don't understand how it takes that long to get to that point, and that's your reaction. Like, at some point, okay, in the heat of the moment, you could have a reaction, but they weren't even near each other. Like, he couldn't have said anything that effectively in that amount of time.
Whatever was said, it festered, right?
Right.
Clearly, because it didn't happen bang, bang. Yeah, I mean, that's why I defer to you on this, just because I don't know that anything should be said that could cause that reaction. You have to be composed as an athlete. I kind of expect there's going to be some nasty stuff said in a physical game. I don't know that you should be the one that's instigating the aggressiveness and getting yourself ejected from the game and letting your team down. I respect Bickerstaff standing up for his guy. I don't think he should condone his players blowing their top and getting ejected from games because someone said harsh words to them.
Right. And that's like, words are words. And I just don't know what could be said on a football field, a baseball field, a basketball court, the ice in hockey that is going to garner a reaction like that.
The quote from Stewart after the game. Just a lot of talk, a lot of words. I slipped up. I fell for the trap, and I let my teammates down. I have to be better at not letting those words allow me to affect the team. I know my squad could have used me out there tonight, end quote.
That is the perfect response.
Exactly.
And I mean, and that diffuses the situation. Takes ownership of it.
Yep.
It got under my skin. That was my reaction. Shouldn't have been that way. I affected my team negatively, and I've got to do better. But perfect response.
Yeah.
And that's where I keep thinking about it and looking at it. And I just, my reaction is he needed to have that response in the moment. And maybe he learns from it. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe there's just this trigger. Now, all of a sudden, guys are going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, hey, what was it that you said to get under his skin? Now, all of a sudden, you tell a buddy, and this buddy tells this buddy on the other team. And now he's going to be faced with that same thing moving forward. Don't know what it was. I am very curious as to what it was that triggered that response.
And I don't. Bickerstaff said, "Hey, go do your fishing. Try to figure it out," because he wasn't going to say it. But I don't know what it is or what would justify it. Even Stewart is acknowledging it wasn't enough to justify what he did. I don't know. I think there will be people who immediately rush to Stewart's defense because he's reminiscent of a different era, and he's Detroit basketball, and he's physical, and he's tough, and
right.
Mahorn would have sucker punched it. Hold on, guys. It's a different era.
It is.
And even the players acknowledging, I was mentally weak in that moment. I have to be stronger. We don't need to condone what Stewart did last night. That's putting your team in a bad spot.
And so is JB just publicly trying to have his players back? I'm fine with that.
I think he even was complaining, you know, previous games with the Pacers and John with those guys. I mean, he is in the fight with these players, and I think they respect him for it.
But here's the lesson that needs to be learned is if the Pistons continue this path of being in the play-in tournament or being a playoff team, do you think they're going to play the Pacers for a series, a five-game series, a seven-game series at some point?
Yeah.
Okay, so you better get whatever it is under control, because and this is what would make a playoff series great, is the animosity between a couple of teams. Now, this is the buildup in the regular season. This is Isaiah Stewart's response, and it's going to be how can he control his emotions, especially when it matters most, and the emotions are going to be even amplified.
There's a real rivalry between these two teams. There's no doubt about it. Isaiah Stewart, justified or not, his coach says he was. You let us know. 248-539-9797. Tigers have added another player. It's not Alex Bregman. It's another one-year deal. Good player. We'll get to that at 635. That's a bunch of things to get to today, including some really tragic news involving a helicopter and a plane crash. We'll get to that with Heather next as well. It's 97.1.
Hey, Super Bowl 59. It's one game. It's two teams, and there's endless possibilities. There's no better way to make every play more exciting than with FanDuel Sportsbook. And whether you're going to predict the first touchdown, who scores, which team it is, or who's going to take home the MVP trophy, maybe even who's going to win the coin toss, FanDuel makes it easy to place your bets and feel the thrill of every single moment. With live betting all game long, you can jump into the action, adjust your bets, and ride the wave of excitement from kickoff to the final whistle. Plus, to make the Super Bowl even sweeter, new customers can score $200 when you make your first bet. Just place a $5 bet, and if you win, you're going to get $200 in bonus bets absolutely guaranteed. All you have to do is download the app or head to FanDuel.com/971Detroit. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit and bet with FanDuel. Official partner of Super Bowl 59. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Beef stew tossed, Pistons lose. Some of your response on the ticket text: I like the edge Beef Stew has, but his antics have become an issue. Giving away points and acting like an idiot isn't the answer. Yeah, JB Bickerstaff said after the game that it crossed the line, some of the things that were said. John, I deferred to you. Is there anything that could be said that would make it acceptable to go physical with it, to get yourself ejected, to hurt your team? Stewart said after the game he shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say there's nothing that could be said, because I haven't heard something that would set me off like that, but because some of the things that are said are so ridiculous, you're like, okay, it's just not true,
right?
And that's the reaction that you would have 99% of the time. So I'm not going to say that there isn't anything that would set me off like that, but I just don't know what it could possibly be.
Texter says Zinedine Zidane in the 06 World Cup. Red carded after he headbutted his opponent. Opponent apparently talked bad about his sister. Athletes can't let that get to them, though. Do you remember the headbutt?
I do.
Is that Italy-France, I think? Yeah, I'm getting the thumbs up.
Yeah.
You could get Stoney with that, with the sister thing.
Oh, God.
You're playing one-on-one with Stoney. So I'm not even saying what
right.
I know.
Yeah, trust me. I wouldn't say on air what I would say to a lot of my opponents. And that's not for air. But again, some of it's so ridiculous. Like, you know, did he know his sister? Like, I mean, now, the odds are no.
There is a ticket texter who thinks they could get to you, John.
Oh, really?
Says, there was only one type of trash talk that made John lose his temper when he played. It's when the opposing team kept saying that vegetables are good. Insisting it.
Yes.
Guess what? Last night, I had some salad, and it was on the same plate, and it was touching the beef.
Just repulsive.
Yes. That would just be defending the beef at that point. That's meat abuse.
All right, 6:35, the Tigers have added somebody. No, it's not Alex Bregman. Yes, it's another one-year deal. We'll talk about it. But first, let's get to the news with Heather.
Yeah, you might have heard, or maybe you're waking up to this news. Tragedy struck. Now there is a massive search operation that's underway after an American Airlines flight carrying 64 people crashed midair with the U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter, crashed into the Potomac near Reagan National Airport Wednesday night. About 300 or more first responders are searching the freezing water. Unfortunately, they have yet to pull any survivors from the water, but more than 30 bodies have been recovered. Several members of the figure skating community were on this plane. Two Russian figure skating champions were on board, and U.S. Figure Skating has issued a statement confirming that several members, including athletes, coaches, and family members, were on board this flight. I've been reading about people who heard this crash and said it sounded like something from a war zone.
Sure.
Somebody who lives right there by the Potomac River. It's just devastating news what's happening. It was the helicopter had three people on board, and it was during a training. It's just so incredibly sad.
It's unbelievable, and it is, and I know they're searching for any type of survivors, or a lot of it's just simply recovery, and it's recovery of anything for answers, but a lot of it, you know, especially being in D.C., there's video of it. You could see the impact.
I didn't
hear the air traffic control. I know, yeah, but it's everywhere. It's hard not to see when you're trying to investigate and find more information.
I woke up to this news like I think a lot of people did. I actually woke up. Colin had seen it. He must have been awake when it happened because he sent me an email about it. And so I saw it. I was like, oh, okay, I'll click on this. And then I was like, whoa, this is some big news.
Yeah, I'm just reading like NBC Washington. They say 64 people on board the airliner. Mm-hmm. More than 30 bodies have been recovered, according to two sources. It's awful.
Yeah. And obviously the questions are all, you know, if it's a military exercise, why are you doing that around such a big airport? But it's also DC, and there was at one point a break in communication that led to this. Had to be.
Yeah. It's devastating. So we'll update that as the day goes on. A 67-year-old Oakland County woman is accused of embezzling more than $400,000 from a vulnerable adult. Shelly Letzer of West Bloomfield is now facing four felony charges after authorities allege that she and this other guy who's already been charged just obtained legal power of attorney from this 87-year-old man who they knew couldn't do anything, was incapacitated. And she then embezzled thousands of dollars from the victim by writing checks to herself from his funds. Pretty simple. It seems like an easy way to be caught. This other guy took hundreds of thousands of dollars as well, diverted it to himself and a charity that he runs under his control. So this woman was able to post bond. So she'll be back in court on February 10th. Michigan has dropped in the national reading rankings. Mm-hmm. So let's see. According to national test results that were just released on Wednesday, Michigan basically reflected a nationwide trend when it saw student test scores decline for fourth and eighth graders in reading and for eighth graders in math between 2022 and 2024. There was only one bright spot that was found in this result was that we did improve in fourth grade math. So there is that bright spot. But top Michigan education officials basically say that this shows the continued toll on student learning from the pandemic when students weren't even in school, right? So in fourth grade reading, Michigan rankings among the state fell to 32nd highest in the nation in 2024, tying with the District of Columbia after ranking 21st in 2022. So we dropped significantly there. In eighth grade reading, fell to 19th. We were at 10th in 2022.
Those are two subjects that really build on each other, right? Like you have to be able to do some math to get to the next stage of it. Reading, if you're not picking up on vocabulary and words and sentence structure, that stuff builds on itself. So it's not a surprise, but it's clearly not a good thing.
So not at all.
Nope.
Here's some good news. Dog lovers can rejoice because Barkside Detroit is opening a second location here in Southfield.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's great. So it's like a dog park and bar. I've never been to it because it's not convenient. It hasn't been convenient. Maybe Southfield's a little closer, but you can go and like indulge in the indoor and outdoor space. You can bring your dog, have some drinks. So the new location is expected to open this summer with plans for more expansions in the works as well.
That's cool.
I've always wanted, back in the day when my dogs were my babies and I didn't have humans, I always wanted like a big indoor dog park because in the winter I'm like, this sucks. I hate being cold. I don't want to be out here in the cold. And now someone's stolen my idea and added drinks. So
brilliant.
It's even better than my idea. At least 10 commercials set to air during the Super Bowl have sold for $8 million. I mean, it's always like this every single year, how expensive they are, but holy cow. I don't really care about the commercials anymore.
No?
Really?
Yeah, I feel like they are never really that good. Like,
well,
they all air before now.
That is an issue.
You get to watch them before the game airs.
You know what I don't like right now is this trend of like previewing the commercial.
Yeah.
Like doing a commercial, teasing the commercial.
Right.
Like we've gone a little far when
2-9-25.
Well, what's the one, the guy who's playing Ditka and he's like preparing to be Ditka in the commercial.
That's McConaughey.
Yes, Matthew McConaughey. The commercial is about him getting ready to do the Super Bowl commercial. Mm. That's when we've gone a little far.
I can't see him as
Ditka. He's like practicing in the mirror. Da Bears. Da Bears. Da Bears.
Da Bears.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I just
seen it. So it's
practice all you want. You're not gonna be Dicka.
Maybe that's the funniness of it.
Yeah, probably.
Who knows? Anyway, guys, that's the news.
That's Heather with the news. All right, coming up next, the Tigers have added someone and they have said we're not done. We'll give you that next. It's 97.1. Halliburton, he's a pest. Pistons lost to the Pacers.
I do want to add here, I'm a fan of trolling your opponent with their celebration.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we see it. Pistons don't like it, too bad. Stop them, right? I mean, that's kind of the whole point of this thing, and instead it boiled over and Isaiah Stewart got ejected. We opened the show talking about it. If you missed it, Odyssey Rewind. Go back and listen. And if you have that Odyssey app, you're going to have a chance to win the ultimate trip to Vegas. Download the Odyssey app and listen to 97.1 The Ticket for the chance to win that ultimate trip to Las Vegas. All right, John, the Tigers made a signing. No, not that signing.
What? You're not breaking news that AB is coming to town?
No, I was driving around yesterday. I was leaving Costco, picked up some groceries, and I heard Doug Karsh go, the Tigers have signed someone. And I go, this is it. And he goes, not Alex Bregman. I go, well, there goes the tease. But they did sign a reliever and a player people do think is going to help this team, Tommy Kahnle. He's coming from the Yankees, equally good against righties and lefties, got a killer changeup. Cool. Help the bullpen out. Another one-year deal, which I think is starting to get a little annoying that all they're doing is signing one-year deals when it could have been an offseason of real investment. But to Scott Harris's point, He says they're not done and the offseason's not over. John, how did you feel about it?
The only question I have about this, we see so many pitchers come in here, whether it's starters or relievers, on one-year deals, two-year deals, whatever it is, and it's like there's a resurgence in their career.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to believe there's a lot of guys that are looking at it going, hey, I'd like to go to Detroit because I want to work with Chris Fetter. And I want some of whatever it is that they've got going on. The only question I have, and I love the fact that he's a reliever, he's a swing and miss guy, but it's the fact that in basically since 2020 when he had his Tommy John, he's missed 2 months of every season since then.
Yikes!
And that is obviously it's a red flag. What does it mean coming to Detroit? Can he work with Chris Fetter and the rest of this staff to avoid some of that? Is the way that they manage their pitchers enough to be able to prevent a moment like that and not have him miss any time?
He's logged over 40 innings the last two seasons, ERA in the twos. These are good things.
Sure.
And I think Harris cited swing and miss and ground ball, the unique combination of a guy who can get swing and miss and keep the ball down. I think the changeup helps him do that. He will be one of the many tools for AJ Hinch to mix and match with at the end of the bullpen. That's all well and good. Tommy Canley, 35 years old, coming over from the New York Yankees for the bullpen. You know where this is going to go, though. Then we have to get into Bregman at some point, right?
Oh, sure, yeah. It's okay. Well, of these small steps, what you get a bunch of these, and then they eventually need to lead to something bigger, and there just hasn't been anything bigger.
So, what do you think's going on with this?
It's a waiting game. It's just it's whether it's Scott Boras, whether it's Alex Bregman, whether it's the Tigers or the Sox or whoever that they're having conversations with. And I think a lot of what we're hearing in those that cover the Tigers, that cover Major League Baseball, is probably a lot of coming out of the Scott Boras camp where other teams all of a sudden seem to pop up. Is he's simply trying to save a little bit of face because he promised something that he can't deliver on. And it's still going to be a monster contract, right? We're talking about $35 million a year. Now, there's a big difference between 25 and 35 or 30 and even 35 per season. And over 5 years, obviously, that adds up to a lot of money. But if he promised, I can get you 200, and the market's just not saying it's there, now he's trying other means of trying to get or create a panic in Detroit if everybody thinks, oh, well, the Sox are back in there, or the Houston Astros. Well, they're back in the game now.
So Scott Harris has to walk this fine line of he may have the best offer on the table, and he doesn't want to bid against himself. And he may feel like they're putting the squeeze on Bregman because, well, Alex, take a better offer if it's there, right? Hey, Alex, if our offer's some, you know, pathetic nothing, then I guess you'll take someone else's offer. And he hasn't taken any deal yet, which to me means the market is depressed.
Right.
It's cratered from what he expected it to be. And the Tigers are a team that could use Alex Bregman. We've highlighted this, all the ways he would help make this team better. They don't want to bid against themselves. But, John, I do worry at the same time, like, will Boras instead opt to have his client do a shorter deal with the opt-outs? Like, last year we saw Matt Chapman signed a 3-year deal with opt-outs, and then he eventually got his 6-year deal a year into it. If Bregman wants a deal with opt-outs, I think he's more likely to go back to Houston where he has a favorable ballpark. He's more likely to go to Boston where he can hit it off the green monster and put up monster numbers for a year. Comerica, people have highlighted this, not an ideal ballpark for him to hit for power. He can still draw walks. He can still play defense. He can still hit doubles. He can still be part of winning. But it might not be the place to go for a year to boost your numbers to get a 6-year deal. So I think that's also working against the Tigers is they could offer the opt-outs, and I hope they are, because I want them to be competitive in pursuit of Bregman. But it may come down to they have to outbid everybody. They may have to go to the table with an offer that's, you know, significant, I don't want to say significantly, but it does have to be demonstratedly.
You're going to have to spend more than others
more
to get
than everybody else.
Right.
And why is that an issue when your payroll's so low?
Well, yeah, to overspend. And we've talked about this for years with the Lions. You're going to have to overpay free agents to come to Detroit because they're just going to come here and lose. Right. Nobody really wants that unless you're going to be compensated for it. And now it's How much do they believe the relationship between Bregman and AJ Hinch plays a part of this? How much do they believe that, you know, if they can sign him for 5 years and get the term that they want, why not throw an extra million or two on there? In the grand scheme of things, it's all going to be caught up in the wash.
Yeah, I don't think you should be overly concerned about what that fifth year and sixth year is going to mean. The Tigers are nowhere near the luxury tax. Do you know what the luxury tax is in baseball? It's $240 million for the upcoming season. The Tigers aren't halfway there. They don't have any long-term commitments on the team, as evidenced by more and more of these one-year deals. If Bregman ages poorly, which is always a concern, paying these guys top dollar in free agency going into their 30s, Javi Baez will be off the books in a couple seasons. You just swap one for the other, and your payroll, again, still has all kinds of breathing room to take care of your homegrown guys. Like, they are not in any financial straits right now to where you have to be very razor-sharp about the money you commit. In fact, they have room for error because they're owned by a billionaire, because the city supports the team when they win, because they're so far from the luxury tax.
And that's the thing that is shocking to me, is if I don't know how you can see what happened last year any other way than when you win and Comerica is packed every single time the Tigers take the field. Like, how does one not add up to the other?
Yeah,
I just don't understand it.
Please don't get mad at me for what I'm about to say, because you're gonna think it's me. I'm saying what they're thinking. They're clearly positioning for next year and especially 27, and the Max Clark and the young guys, and they just don't want to pin themselves down with anything long term. They don't, and even Bregman is a signal for that. Like, I truly believe it's the target. Truly is 27 in terms of this team being a kind of a star-studded young team. And with Bregman, I think they want Bregman to be on the latter half of his deal by then.
Yeah.
You know, so they want, so for 25 and 26, they want a 4-year deal. And then Javi comes off the books for sure in that same time frame. And then they can be young. Scoobles may be getting paid then. You know,
well,
I know.
We're skeptical that that's happening, but understood.
Right. You see what I'm saying, though? Everything positions itself for there, and their behavior and what they want to do with Bregman on term says the same thing.
Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe they've offered 4, 5, even 6 years. We don't actually know. They've been maybe the quietest team in terms of like hard numbers and reporting.
Well, and that's what makes it difficult because of the reputation that ownership has of not spending and not being anybody that would go all in on putting a winner out there and winning a championship. But behind the scenes, because it has been so quiet, there's a possibility that those conversations are happening.
And they may land him. And we're going to come in and sing Scott Harris's praise. And we're going to, you know, pop bottles and celebrate and get ready for the start of baseball season. But if they don't get Alex Bregman, it's going to feel like they took a playoff run and then slapped a bunch of one-year Band-Aids on it and kicked the can for Tom's 2027.
Just like they did last year.
Right. And I, Tom, flippantly, the fans can say, well, I'll be in 2027 then when you're in too. The point about Max Clark, he isn't free agent eligible for 6 years after he debuts. He hasn't debuted. Bregman's deal would be gone before Max Clark would be a true free agent. Those timelines don't even match up. That doesn't matter.
No. What I'm saying, though, is that they just don't want to. They're
spend
not
spend money.
They don't financially want to push their chips in until their younger core is developed. They just don't, or they would be doing it.
They're
not paying to win next year, or they would do more.
But that's
right?
But that, how should a fan take that?
Well, the team looks a little right after last year.
No, but if I'm a fan, if I'm a paying customer, how should I take it when the team doesn't want to push their chips in to go further?
Because, well, I don't think a mid-market team in baseball does that season by season. And they're a mid-market team.
But I think that the first month of the season, if they don't do the Bregman deal, if they don't add a bat, if they don't do some of the things that we've talked about, except for, you know, the moves that have already been made, and maybe there's a couple of more one-year deals that are made, I do think that the first month of the season, let's just call it April, is going to be vital. They can't have the Aprils that they've had before, or fans will check out.
Well, one of the things last year is actually April. They played pretty decent, remember?
They did.
And it kind of kept them afloat.
Well, early on, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, they had a swoon, and then Gibby called us when they got back to 500.
I was going to say, Sean, I actually don't know how this will go. If they struggle, I think some people will say, don't be too critical, because they can still save this like they did last year. And we have to remind people it was like a 50-year miracle, and it only happened like one time in 100 years of baseball.
I just got to tell you, by the way, every time we talk about this, I just think of Matt Chapman from last year. And I forgot Groundhog to tell Day. You, we went. I took Sam to a baseball card shop, football cards, on Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
And there weren't that many cards in general in the cases, but there was a Matt Chapman card.
Of course, there was. 248-539-9797. We got open lines, ticket text if you want to react to the latest Tigers news. Do have a Lions conversation. Valenti and I stumbled into a debate on Cash the Ticket yesterday, a classic homer versus hater. We'll get to that next, 97.1.
Hey, we are right in the middle of winter, so don't let the cold creep into your house. Keep it outside. If you need your furnace service today, do what I did and call Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment, the best prices, and they offer same-day service. Plus, there's that 5-year warranty, so you know you're covered. Save a bundle with their winter bundle. Up to $1,500 in savings when you buy a new furnace, AC, and generator. Call for details, or you can visit them online for more information at mastercraftheating.com.
There are some at the station that expect the Lions to take a step back, losing two coordinators. Dip our toe into that conversation. After a few ticket texts and phone calls, we brought up the Tigers. They've added somebody. No, not him. Tommy Kahnle, relief pitcher from the Yankees. Nothing against Tommy. Looks like a nice addition to the bullpen. Gets out righties and lefties. Got a nice little changeup. Got to stay healthy, but you say, hey, Fetter can get more out of him. Sure. With respect to Bregman. The name everybody's waiting to get an update on. Is he going to be a Tiger? Is he going to be a Cub? Red Sox? Astro? At one point, maybe the Blue Jays. Maybe not so much anymore. It's one of these sagas that's dragged out. And some of your responses on the ticket text. I love the move for Kahnle, but I need a right-handed power bat with a great glove. We all know who. Detroit is not a mid-market team, Tom. I'm sick of hearing, well, we're going to wait for the young guys to develop. When's the last time a team won waiting for the real homegrown talent to develop? They made the playoffs last season. Capitalize. Get real bats in here.
We are a mid-market team. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't.
We're not small market, though.
No, right. I mean, it is the 14th media market in the country. That's what Detroit is.
Can we have a top 15 payroll, then?
Yes, and I do think that'll come, and I actually think they will explore getting into the top 10 when the timing's right. Their timing is not your timing, and I think that's a really tough pill to swallow for all of us. Well, I'm not defending them. I'm simply saying what I believe they're doing. I mean, their behavior doesn't say anything different because they've committed nothing long-term to anybody since Scott Harris has been the general manager. Right.
And the thing about, you mentioned the timeline. Scott Harris's timeline is very different than the fans because Scott Harris wasn't here for the 8, 9, 10 years of just really bad baseball.
I'm glad they're actually letting him have his own timeline instead of trying to rush things because Al Avila was so bad for 8 years.
I can respect that, but don't timelines change?
Yeah, and you push the envelope.
We'll see with the Pistons.
It remains to be seen whether he'll push the envelope when it's necessary.
Because I just wonder, like, can you have it both ways? If you want to take credit for the success of last year, does that not change the timeline? Because you can't have it both ways. You can't go, well, last year we actually weren't that good, so we're going to stay the course and do this slow, methodical thing. Well, that's fine, but they're taking credit, and they should, for supercharging this thing and getting to the postseason, so then build on it.
Baseball's in a weird spot right now. The game is kind of a little bit regressing back to the way it used to be played, and I think some players have really been overpaid, and I think some franchises have been burned. You had the Yankees ownership come out just yesterday and say, we can't compete with the Dodgers. What? You know, I think the Dodgers are kind of taking advantage of teams pulling back a little bit.
Yep.
Boris clients have underachieved recently. I know some he's still done a good job for, but some have. There seems to be a pullback. I mean, you could borderline argue there's a collusion going on here, but that gets into the weeds.
Some have argued that, yeah. A couple more ticket texts and a phone call. Texter says, if the Tigers don't make a big move like Bregman, Alonso, or trading for someone,
right,
I'll be checked out before the season starts. Another, Neil and Carlton says, I want to buy half-season tickets, but I'm not going to invest if they won't invest in themselves. It's disheartening. So Cookies essentially is okay with another Baez contract. I don't want Bregman. He will certainly decline like Baez. Maybe not as bad, but I don't want a half-ass player just to spend. Keith from the Heights.
Okay, so what's the answer?
Wait.
Well, but that's the issue is, what's the answer if you're not willing to go for a Bregman?
He would be an upgrade this year, next year, probably year the year after. Baez is gone by that point.
Yeah.
And if he declines, I do think he'll age better because career-wise, much higher walk rate, much less swing and miss, much...
Yeah, his numbers won't be Javi Baez numbers.
I know. Chris in Redford, you're up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's up?
Hey, guys, I'm really getting sick and tired of this nickel and dime crap. Seriously. You know, we had one of the biggest turnarounds in baseball history, and the kids proved that they can be good. So now they just need a little bit of veteran leadership, a little bit of veteran bats, and who knows what could happen. The pitching's fine. I'm just tired of the one-year contracts. Okay, you know what? We signed that bum, Alex Cobb, from Cleveland, okay, for the exact same amount that JV signed in San Francisco. Now, JV is on his downside of his career. We all know that. But he's also said he wanted to come home and finish his career as a Tiger. Why not? It's the exact same deal, exact same years. I'm just really tired of Chris Illich and Scott Harris, and mainly Illich, because we want to be a winning organization in baseball. We want to be a winning organization in hockey again. And I really think that he is a disgrace to his father's legacy. All he cares about is money. He doesn't care about bringing a winner back to the city. And it's very frustrating, guys.
Look, all of it's extremely frustrating. I know there's a world where the contract ages poorly, and that's probably the biggest reason you hesitate to throw out an extra year or another $5 million or whatever it would take. But I can't, guys, do sympathy if Chris has to eat a bad contract in 28 and 29. I can't. If they have to eat one bad contract in today's baseball at the end of the deal, if he's not willing to do it, he's not willing to seriously compete with everybody else. If you're not willing to have any risk in any of these free agent deals, if you're just not going to compete in the open market, I don't have any sympathy that he may have to eat a bad contract occasionally, right, as an owner of a baseball team. You know that going into it, that's the business of being a baseball owner.
Yeah, I think there's zero doubt there's scar tissue from the Baez deal.
Oh, there's no question.
There has to be. I think he feels scorned and burned by that.
From him, but not from Scott Harris. But obviously, Scott Harris gets his marching orders from his boss.
I mean, really, I hope people realize, I think it's one of the worst, if not the worst, contracts in sports.
It's certainly the worst in Detroit sports.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's close.
Anyway.
And you have scar tissue? You know, we all do, but you can't sometimes let it affect. I just think calculated spending after giving out that deal is what's happening here.
Well, and we've seen it in other teams here, right? Tom Gores. I mean, there's got to be some scar tissue there with what he did, with the coaching staff. That's got to hurt. It's got to sting. In fact, that's probably not even scarred over yet. That's still an open wound. But as you start to win, time heals all wounds, and winning cures all ails.
It's exactly well said, John. We got two Grand Slam coming up at 7:25. Dear John at 7:35. Okay, this Lions conversation. Host Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni. And near the end of the episode, we got some email from a guy, and he wanted to know about our outlook for the next year. And Mike and I apparently have vastly different outlooks for the upcoming season, because he dropped in, if you offered me 11 wins, I'd take it right now. And I nearly fell out of my chair. He would take 11 wins right now for the Lions next year. Keep in mind, the Lions won 15 games last year and 12 games the year before. I don't know why you would settle for 11. And I said, that feels kind of doom and gloomy. And he goes, what are you talking about? 11 wins? That's doom and gloom? Is that the new world we live in? How big a step back are they supposed to take this season? I understand losing coordinators is going to, cause a reset, but they still got all pros. They still got Dan Campbell. I think there's going to be quite a bit of continuity, and the defense is getting healthier. Like, John, after the update, I want to know where you're at on this, because he said he would take 11 wins next year for the Lions. And I still think they're probably 12, 13, even with a step back. Ticket, text, phone calls want you guys to weigh in, too. It's 97.1.